All righty, good morning. It's 8:45. Virginia's congressional delegation now mostly Democratic, while Republicans held on to Virginia's House of Delegates. Plenty of questions after the 2018 election yesterday, and joining us right now to answer them is WFIR political analyst Bob Denton. And Dr. Denton, always a pleasure to have you with us. How are you this morning?
Oh, very well, thank you. Great to be with you.
Yes, sir. Now, Bob, let's start with the Democrats controlling the House, if we can. While the Republicans kept control of the Senate, many out there saying this will lead to investigations of President Trump. Dr. Denton, what kind of investigations do you think we're talking about here?
Well, actually, the Democrats have choices to make. Is it going to be investigations, everything from Trump's taxes in terms of looking deeper in terms of the Russian investigation, all the different types of challenges that they could do? And so almost as chair of various committees, you could go up and down the line in terms of the subject of the committees to have some sort of administration investigations, testimonies, testifying, which gets into the workflow. And so that's one way to go. Democrats might say, well, wait a minute, if we're going to get anything done, we're going to need some cooperation. And so there's going to be an interesting balance. But I think essentially there is a decision strategically for Democrats to make and will have implications for the 2020 reelection campaign.
Good morning, Dr. Bob. This is Ian Price. Now, speaking of that 2020 reelection campaign, how does this change the approach for Republicans when it comes to trying to retain the White House?
Well, you know, at the top of the ticket, I mean, there was a Trump effect, right? And when we look at the exit polls, most of them, there are three of them, but most of them are indicating that Trump didn't, while he prevailed in some of the Senate side, he certainly was also activating in terms of the Democratic vote. So it's going to take some real strategic analysis there in terms of by state, some of the districts in terms of how localized some of the Republicans want to go forward. In terms of Trump, I think he has some decisions to make himself in terms of how does he move now his legislative agenda. And so strategically, he even said, surprisingly, that, well, if he has any regrets, he wish he might have had a little bit softer tone. So right now, both sides are really doing a dance, trying to figure out what strategy as they go forward, both from a legislative standpoint, but always with the backdrop of the upcoming elections.
We're speaking with WFIR political analyst Bob Denton. Now, if the Democrats do come out with a lot of investigations of President Trump, and it could come off to some as their kind of a witch hunt, which is what he's always claiming some investigations are, like the Russian election investigation, could you see that backfiring and actually working in Trump's favor in 2020? Or do you think the investigations might work in the Democrats' favor, which I'm sure they're hoping for?
Well, the interesting thing about that, the either or is, the answer is yes to both in a way. That is to say that it might activate in terms of the Democratic, in terms of the base. It might activate Republicans in terms of their particular base. You're sitting there now with independents, which are growing in identification almost equal to those who say they're Democrat or Republican. And so that's kind of the challenge that you're looking at. But at the end of the day, see, we're still just as divided, right, in terms of red and blue, despite the subtle changes there. And so one way is to keep division. Another way, or is there any possibility to go across the aisle to really focus in terms of a positive kind of agenda with both parties? So one answer might be that to get something done, Democrats are going to have to work with Republicans, and you know what? Republicans are going to have to work with Democrats. So it does seem that either we'll continue down this road of real division, or are there going to be opportunities for some sort of unification from a programmatic standpoint?
Dr. Denton, we're moving to Virginia's Senate seat now. After losing to Tim Kaine, Republican Corey Stewart said last night that his loss is a speed bump for President Trump's agenda. But he says the Trump movement is just getting started. Is he right?
It'll be interesting to see. I think both parties are trying to reconstitute itself. What is the core belief, attitudes, and values? What's the message? The Democrats are just as divided at the end of the day in terms of that moderate versus what they would call the progressive or more social orientation. And the Republicans need to look at the very same in terms of even some of the various cultural issues there. So both parties need to figure out where they are. In terms of the Commonwealth of Virginia, although the 2nd and the 7th, very close, and the Democrats did prevail, Virginia geographically is still very divided. It's all about that northern Virginia area that's really turning blue. I think Republicans in Virginia are going to struggle to try to run a statewide race and be successful. You certainly can't do it at the 45%. Kane underperformed a little bit, certainly less than 60%. I would put the argument that if Stewart had reached that 45, 46%, Republicans might have been able to hold on to the 2nd and the 7th district. So in some ways, it's kind of the status quo. But when you look at the Commonwealth of Virginia, for Republicans, Virginia is going to become very challenging at a statewide perspective.
We're speaking with WFIR political analyst Bob Denton. Now, Corey Stewart's loss last night comes after he was defeated by Ed Gillespie for the GOP gubernatorial nomination just last year. Do you think Stewart will try for another statewide office in the future, or could this be it for him?
Well, Virginia is really historically not all that forgiving. He's had several shots at it. Certainly, when you think about a 40% threshold, sometimes that's kind of saying, okay, I reached the 40%. What can I do next? He was certainly at the 42% or so. So it's kind of in his hands. I think the national, when they stood away from him, I think the lack of real party support, and at the end of the day, Trump did not come, right? Which would have been a dual-edged sword there. But so I'm not sure if I was him, if I looked at it, it would be very local. I'm not sure statewide that there would be another opportunity. He might have absolutely maxed out in terms of his support last night.
Let's move to Virginia's 6th congressional district, which is staying red. Electing Ben Klein to replace his former boss, Bob Goodlatte. Do you expect Klein to make any big waves in Congress?
Well, he certainly will be new. I think he'll be part of, he certainly represents that district in terms of belief, attitudes, and values. I think he's going to be very traditional in terms of the things that he will work on and learn about. I think he represents the district very well. That's the second most Republican district. And so I think in his 12 years within the House prepares him well. So I think you'll see him be certainly among the more conservative. And certainly as it comes to some of the judicial and other kinds of in budget items, I suspect that he will be certainly center right as he approaches the various issues in his role in Congress.
We're speaking with WFIR political analyst Bob Denton. Now that Ben Klein's in Congress, his seat in the House of Delegates will need to be filled. Who do you think might be Klein's successor? I mean, how many candidates do you think will be coming forward for that 24th district seat?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, and I don't know. It's going to be interesting that certainly someone, it would seem, for that district, name recognition always helps. To be honest, strategically for the Republicans, they may very much do not want 5, 6, or 7 kind of names coming forward. Keep it to a small list. Certainly someone with some experience and have name recognition. Those would be the criteria that I would suggest in terms of Republicans if they really want to be successful going forward, even though obviously it's a Republican district. But just as we saw in the 5th, when you have an open seat, there's always wiggle room, can be some danger. And so name recognition, some sort of experience at the local level can represent that district in terms of its belief, attitudes, and values. Those would be some of the criteria. And I think it would hinder if there was too many. There can be a lot of mentions, but in terms of serious candidates, you certainly don't want to have a real fight on your hands in terms of internal party.
You mentioned the 5th district. Let's move to there right now. It was one of the biggest races as far as commercials go. I mean, if you weren't familiar with the districts, you probably assumed that you would see Riggleman or Coburn on the ballot because the commercials were just everywhere. Democrat Leslie Coburn lost by 7 points. It was considered a toss-up by some. How much of an effect do you think big money had on this race?
Well, it certainly tightened it. I mean, when the 10th was kind of over, more money was diverted in terms of both the 7th and the 5th districts. Trump won that district, the 5th, by 11 points. It should have been a fairly safe Republican, certainly strong-leaning Republican. But there again, it goes to it was an open seat. It was among the top 100 seats that Democrats were very much looking at because it was open. It was not as close as people thought. And Riggleman, with a 7-point victory there, that's certainly a strong first showing. he certainly has some work to do within that district, and it'd be interesting to see in 2 years if it is still vulnerable or not. But right now, that was probably exceeded expectations, because indeed, as you say, there were those that had it absolutely in a toss-up. Monday, Larry Sabato, a good friend at University of Virginia, and his folks had moved it to lean Republican. And so there was that late kind of recognition that it might have been a little bit more safe than people anticipated.
Let's move to Morgan Griffith, where we're speaking with WFIR political analyst Bob Denton. Morgan Griffith's now a decade-long run in Congress, if he finishes up this term. He easily defeated Anthony Flacavento last night by 30 points. It's not a shock that Griffith won, but do you find it surprising that he won by that much?
Yes, I actually do. I mean, look, the 9th District is the most Republican district in the Commonwealth. Trump won it with 68%. Look, Flacavento, from my perspective, and living in the 9th District, ran virtually a textbook campaign. I mean, his ads were good, clever, sharp. He did the grassroots out there, over 100 town halls. He covered the district. I think he did about all he could do, to be honest with you. I would have not been surprised if he had broke that 40% kind of ceiling there, even knocking on the door of 45%. There might have been a little bit over thought about the success of his campaign. I thought he was a good candidate. He did well in the forums. And so at the end of the day, it speaks how solid Republican the 9th District is. But he gave about as good an effort as anyone could do. And I thought he ran, Flacavento, a very good campaign.
We're speaking with WFIR political analyst Bob Denton. Bob, we have about 30 seconds left, so I guess I just wanted to ask you my last question. Any big takeaways from yesterday's election that you think maybe isn't really being explored much other places?
Well, even though from a national perspective, even within the Commonwealth of Virginia, in many ways it's still somewhat the status quo. The big difference in Virginia, if you look in terms of the northern Virginia, Hampton Roads area, changing of the demographics there, Virginia is blue. Make no mistake about it. More challenging for Republicans from a statewide perspective.
Okay, thanks for joining us this morning, Dr. Bob Denton, WFIR political analyst. We'll have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
Oh,